and welcome to the Property Unleashed podcast with me, your host, Mark Fitzgerald. It's great to have you joining me here today. And today I have a special guest. Danny O'Brien from BD Short Stays is joining me. Welcome to the show, Danny. Great to have you on.
Yeah, cheers for having me.
Good stuff. So Danny and I have known each other a little while now, actually. I'd say well over a year, easily. And Danny's been doing great things in the property world. He's got a background in sports and football and things, which he's going to share with us. And he's now building a successful property business. So, Danny, for people that don't know anything about you, can you tell us a bit about yourself, please, mate?
Yeah, sure. So, obviously, my name is Danny O'Brien from BD Short Stays. My background is I'm a retired professional footballer, recently retired semi-professional footballer. And my career kind of didn't go the way I planned, and that kind of meant at the grand old age of 24, I retired from full-time football and kind of come home, got a job and continued playing semi-professional football, which I recently retired from last season, which was one of the big reasons was to be doing more property. And I also have a corporate background, so my corporate background is in sales. I work in the construction industry, selling to roofing contractors throughout the UK. I've been investing in property for the last 3 years, and most recently working with yourself over the last year on service accommodation.
Brilliant stuff. So obviously, you know, your football career ended early, unfortunately for your good self. You've obviously gone out there, you've worked as well, got a corporate background and things. What made you want to get involved in property?
For me, it was, I think, all the timings of what happened during COVID really affected me in kind of sitting down. And obviously, COVID was a dreadful thing for many people, but what it did give, and I wouldn't want to use the word the opportunity of a lifetime, but what it did do for people in the corporate world was it gave them time. It gave them time that they've never had before, whether that was being stuck in lockdown, being on furlough, working from home. And it kind of gave me a lot of time to think, well, is this what I want? My life was corporate job, playing football Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, getting paid very well to do both, but a serious lack of time. And during COVID, basically when you play at non-league level, quite a lot of the clubs and 90% of the players are on a, basically you call it non-contract, which is if you don't play, you don't get paid. So when all the seasons got curtailed and the lockdowns come into place, there was no furlough, there was no nothing. It was simply, you don't get paid. So I'm sat there, I've just bought my first residential home with Becca, and suddenly I've got a gaping gap in my income. And we never knew when that was going to kind of kick back off. And that made me think, well, what's going to happen after I finish playing? Because eventually that's going to happen. I think at that time I was 25, 26. And the answer was, it's going to finish one day for one reason or another. And it's, what do I have as an extra income stream that's going to support me when I make that transition? So it was kind of a bit of boredom, would you say, having all that time on your hands, but then really sitting down and thinking, well, I've got all this time. I want to make it a positive. I want to look back at COVID and lockdowns and go, I did something positive. And that's the reason why I kind of got involved in property. It was the thing that was on the forefront of my mind, because I just bought my first home and I absolutely love doing that. If you ask me that now, going through all the legals and mortgages and whatnot, I'd probably change my opinion on it. But at that moment in time, that's what kind of gave me a spark and gave me something to do. So that would be my main reason, was that, and being able to find something positive and build something for my family.
Yeah. And you've, over the last few years, you've been building up your own portfolio, have you?
Yeah, so at the time when I kind of got involved in property, read Property Magic, did the courses, got a mentor. With my life and how I was at that time, I wanted buy-to-lets. So that's what we went out and did. We went and bought a few buy-to-lets. And that's what we'd been doing for up until probably February last year. It went well. There was certain hiccups, which you know about, which led me to serviced accommodation. But that's kind of what we did. We wasn't doing anything groundbreaking. It wasn't anything out of the ordinary, but that's what suited my lifestyle at the time. And as I said, we did that for around about 1.5, 2 years. We did a little bit of sourcing in between with my mentor, Andrew Tonks, who you may know from the circuit. And it was nice. It was good. It was a good income that kind of gave us an opportunity to really benefit ourselves. We also flipped our own property. So we bought that and then we sold it for $100,000 more the year later, which allowed us to be able to put down a big whack of money for a big wedding that happens in July this year. So all these different things happened through property. We wasn't doing anything groundbreaking, but it was what suited us at the time. So
that's good. That's good. And I mean, buy-to-lets for the last, I'd say, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, realistically, have been good, solid bets, with the interest rates being as low as they have been. Of course, interest rates have gone up now, so trying to actually get a lot of the buy-to-lets to stack in particular certain areas is very, very difficult to do. And of course, if you can convert your buy-to-lets or potentially, change the properties that you're managing or looking after into serviced accommodation, short-term rentals, then it can be a very, very profitable strategy to do as well. So, I mean, you've got your buy-to-lets, you're doing a bit of deal sourcing, you're working with your mentor, which is good. And we always recommend that. Our coaches, mentors, anybody that can help you progress, give you that knowledge and that support that nobody can ever take away from you in the future as well. You'll probably have already appreciated that from your football days as well, having coaches and, your manager and everything all there to help support you and push you in the right direction. What made you sort of switch then from, the buy-to-let portfolio that was going to then be looking at serviced accommodation?
I think you've kind of tied everything into one there. You talk about mentors and people who can help educate yourself. And I think you've said it there is we always say you've got to have someone who's holding you accountable. And as you said, my mentor with Andrew, the reason why I had Andrew at the start was because his background was he was a pilot for the RAF. And the similarities between his lifestyle and my lifestyle before property was very, very similar. It's a daily routine of someone holding you accountable to literally everything that you do. And that resonated with me quite well. And I think, in a way, Andrew was the person that pushed me towards serviced accommodation, which then obviously led me to speaking to you and coming on the business builder. And the reason why was because he held me accountable for what I actually had done. And what that was I took my eye off the ball completely. I saw my buy-to-lets as passive properties. I never had an issue with rent being paid on time. I, from what I gathered, never had any maintenance issues. I had good tenants. I had a good letting agent who would just basically never speak to me and hand me my money each month. And they were cash flowing very well because we bought at low interest rates. And all these things, I'm sat there going, brilliant, I've smashed it. Jeremy, don't need to do anything else. I can just keep doing this as I go along. And that all kind of came crashing down earlier on last year when we received one property back and then another property back quite soon after. And they were in an absolute state. That came from me not keeping my eye on the ball and taking for what the letting agent was telling me. The property was in great condition and the tenant was fantastic and he kept it clean and he treated it like his own home. When you've seen the photos, and I always say his photos can do a lot of good because photos don't smell. And that is arguably one of the hardest things in property is if you've got a smelly property, doesn't matter what you do to it, you have to rip it all out. There's no salvaging that kind of anything within the property. And that's what we had to do. And at the time, we'd already said that we wanted to move into serviced accommodation and look to purchase one of our own. And you and Gray, and when we was on the course, I said, oh, I've got this property, it's come back to market, it's been let out, it's, I don't know what state it's in yet, but I'll let you know. And you was like, well, this is the perfect opportunity for you to go and show all the work that you've done in the course and with the mentorship of you and Graham, to show that you can action it quite quickly. You've been given a bit of a golden opportunity to test the waters on something that you own already. And if it doesn't stack and if it doesn't work, you've then added value to the property from the refurbishment anyway, and it can be let out on a buy-to-let at a higher rent than what you was currently getting. So that kind of pushed me. I think I say it quite a lot, is who should be in charge of your asset? And what I mean by that is 95% of landlords in the UK are hardworking people who have day jobs, who are building something for their future family, for their retirement funds or whatever. And I question, well, is there any opportunity where you have full control over that property? And the only strategy you can do that is serviced accommodation, because you don't have tenants, you have guests. And that was a big one for me, was tenants can pay the rent, but are they looking after your asset? If you don't choose the right letting agent, look what can happen. And it was, well, who should take responsibility of their asset? Who worked really hard to get the asset? Well, the answer should be me. Or at least I should be knowing that the person who's managing my property is in control of the asset. And that was the number one question that made me go, yeah, this is being moved to serviced accommodation. You probably shouldn't do this, but we looked at the numbers and went, kind of works, kind of doesn't, but we're going to, because we want to be in control. Being in control was more important than cash flow at this point in time for me, because I had a property that I had to spend a lot of money on, which I was lucky that I had that money. If I didn't, that we could have been in a different situation. So, yeah, I think that would be my main reason, is I wanted control over my assets by using SA.
No, it's good. It's good. And you do have more control, because obviously you're maintaining your own assets to that high standard, which is what you want. You want it, you know, you want the capital growth, but you also want the cash flow as well. And it is so disheartening when you put a good product together, you rent it out, you know, you want people to live there, you want people to enjoy it. And they, I mean, what they did to yours was absolutely atrocious. You know, like you say, pictures don't smell, and the pictures weren't great either, were they? But you've made it now, referred it. It looks beautiful. It, you know, and obviously you're trying out serviced accommodation, which for you is working very, very well. Before we move on to that, though, obviously what I do like to just dig a little bit deeper in is obviously you're looking at then getting into serviced accommodation. So you wanted to, you know, have the knowledge, have the support. So we have the ultimate serviced accommodation business builder, which is all about serviced accommodation. It's not just rent to rent. It's rent to rent management. It's converting your own properties. It's doing joint ventures. It's the complete package. But what made you choose us? Because there's a lot of different people out there that can help you with serviced accommodation, isn't there?
Yeah, I think for me, the honest answer is I've known you from probably the start of my property journey. You were when I was going on Mastermind Accelerator, you were kind of just come out of Mastermind 12-month program, or it was a year or so after. And I was kind of, it comes back to that knowing who you want to work with and knowing who resonates with you. And for me, I think we spoke a year before about serviced accommodation and how you was putting together this course, and it wasn't ready at that time. And I was like, when that's ready and the time's right for me, I'm going to do it. And I don't even think we ended up having like a call on it. I think it was literally, I was like, Mark, it's Danny again. I've not spoken to you in a little while, but I know you have this course, and I'll be totally honest with you, you sold me a year ago on it. So it was kind of knowing who I was going to be able to rely upon as a mentor and as a coach, and knowing that the product is going to be fit for purpose. You've got SAs of yourself. You were bringing on Graham, who is obviously a huge SA operator within Nottingham, and those two together plus the content of the course made me choose it. I think if I could tell you that, like, I got given this great pitch and everything. I didn't. I just knew that that was what I was going to do. And kind of you was the person that was going to help me guide in that way, because I kind of really liked how you worked. I loved the energy that you give. And that for me is enough. If you've got energy and passion and you've got a product that can add value, then they're the three main things that you need in order to go and work with someone. And that just resonated with me. And then when I got onto the course was so in depth. And I think once again, it holds you accountable for everything you do. We've actually got the meeting tonight, I think it is. And you and Graham, yeah, we can talk about all the fantastic things that happen. But most of the time, those calls are about solving problems and about being in the real world. And sometimes I can remember I got a bit of a grilling from Graham one time, and he even messaged me. I thought this might be a nice message to say, I'm sorry, I was a bit harsh on you. But the message was actually, if you was by yourself, you would have got it 10 times worse, because we were living with people. Do you know what I mean? But for me, that resonated with me. It was holding me accountable and saying, no, you've got to do better. No, you've got to strive for more. And that is the whole reason why I joined the course, to be part of that sort of group of people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is. It's having those home truths at times. You know, a lot of us don't like it, but sometimes we need to hear it. And Graham's very, very good at that. I mean, I learned a lot of what I've learned in SA through Graham, of course, because he's been doing it longer than us all, which is why it was great to have him in there. Great to have him as the coach, of course. But it's also having that roadmap with depth by somebody that's been there and done it. Do you know what I mean? I've got a couple of handfuls of serviced accommodation myself. Graham's got over 350 units. So he knows how to scale and systemize a business. And of course, yes, we had a chat. It took us, actually, it did take us 12 months to build the training. That's how in depth we wanted to make sure that it was all that you would need. And it's great to have you come back to us and have that faith as well. So I appreciate that. And thank you for that as well. But to come back in, and to hear what you're saying about it as well, because, you know, we built this and it's a living and breathing training. So we are here to help and support you. Obviously, we have the groups as well. We have the coaching calls. And if things happen and change or things need updating, we will update them and everybody gets access to it. And that's very, very important to us, because it's not just something that you come and purchase. We want you to come and take action with this and do what you want to do, because, you know, you invest in your time, you invest in your money and stuff into something like this. It's about making sure that you're getting the results that you want. So with the training in mind, you obviously you've had your mentoring as well before that, which is always great. Andrew's a great guy as well. I know Andrew well. And of course, coming on to the service accommodation business builder, you now, of course, have converted your first property that you got handed back to you. You're a bit like disheartened by it all, and I don't blame you. You've made it very, very, very nice. And now you've got stuck in doing your serviced accommodation. That's taken you sort of down different avenues, isn't it, to maybe what you maybe first thought?
Yeah. It's something that kind of landed on our lap day two of the property being live, which was we were approached by a care company providing temporary accommodation for misplaced children. And that has been going on since the 16th of August. And I think I talk about that kind of passion and mindset. And my mindset straight away was, oh, I can get someone in on a 28-day booking here straight away, half a day, this, that, and the other. And that snowballed into actually seeing significant kind of developments within a young person, and we're able to provide that accommodation for him, which can help him in his life and change his life. And I think we've now moved down this avenue because we're both very passionate about it. Myself and Becca, we've seen what types of accommodation these people are coming from and what they're then being given. And that's huge. It's chalk and cheese to what they're used to. And if we can use serviced accommodation to actually help people in need, then that is one of the best battles that you can have in business, because it's a win-win situation. The occupancy levels at 100%, the rate that we get is very good. And the main thing is that you're actually providing a service to someone who really needs it. And without this type of product, without this type of strategy, that placement wouldn't be possible. And that's kind of gone one further now. I'm not really allowed to speak too much about it because I'm under contract not to, but we are working with local entrepreneurs, and we're going to be changing the way care packages can be introduced within the industry, and that's something that we're very excited about. And what we can do as management agents is we can offer to landlords a really good opportunity to not just have really good income from the property, not just to have really long bookings and good occupancy, but also to actually change people's lives. And for us, that puts us in a win-win-win situation throughout it. And yeah, it's really exciting. I wish I could tell you more. I will hopefully be able to come back on the podcast with our business partner who we're working on this with later down the line. But as I said, it's going to be something that's really, really, really promising, something that can potentially be a game changer in providing accommodation to the care industry. So we're super excited for that. And I can't really wait. I want to tell you, do you know what I mean? But that's something that we're currently working on because we know it works. We know it works, and we know that there's a huge, huge opportunity to help people. 90% of placements don't happen in the UK because of the accommodation not being fit for purpose or not being actually to standard. So what happens to that 90% of children? Well, they end up going into state foster care. They end up going into areas and houses that aren't suitable for them. What chance do they have? Whereas as SA providers, we can give them the best opportunity to integrate themselves back into life, which, do you know what I mean? If you need a reason to do it, or you need a reason to go into property, there's one big reason.
It's amazing how you've come up with, you know, almost stumbled across it. Obviously, you've put yourself out there, put a good product out there. People have reached out to you. You've taken action on it. A lot of people would have seen this opportunity and thought, nah, it's not for me. As you say, initially, it was a 20. I remember actually seeing you saying it's a 28-day booking. I'm really chuffed about this. And that was before you knew, you know, the real ins and outs of it. And then obviously it was quite good as well. I think on a few of the coaching calls and stuff, we were able to, you know, help you and make sure from your perspective that things were being set up right and that we were looking after you. Because at the end of the day, you are providing a service, which is a really important service. But equally, you're doing it with a product that you've invested a lot of money in your business into. So you don't just really want somebody to come in and ruin your asset again and you're back to square one, do you? So it's about making sure that it's a win. Oh, we always say a win-win for everybody. But all of a sudden, you've gone from a property investor who's out to make, you know, money and make things a win-win. I'm not saying that they're not. But all of it, you've given it a higher purpose now because it is like a mission now, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. I think... And I've probably not even told you this or anything like that, but for me, every single time I wake up, I know that my career should have gone a different way in football. And I wake up every day having masses of a regret because my mindset wasn't right. And the reason why was because I didn't know what the purpose was to me doing this. It was something that I'd always done as a young kid. I became good at it. I got decent deals, and it was kind of... Suddenly it was all gone, and it took me probably until the age of 26 where the penny dropped and I was like, I lost arguably the opportunity of a lifetime to not just benefit myself but everyone around me. And then I moved into property and I was driven, and I am a driven person. It's kind of ingrained in for me from my career, from my family. But then if you add that drive to actually being given a purpose to how you can actually help people, that's what I was missing in my football career. There was no purpose. Whereas now, the purpose for me is being able to, number one, provide quality accommodation for people in need. Number two, to be able to watch them grow and be able to help them in any way we can. But then number three, as an SA management company, being able to offer a product and also have landlords who want to work with us because they know that they're getting paid very well to do it. They're not doing much themselves. They're simply giving us the properties to run, but they're getting paid well to do it. And second of all, they're helping people. And you kind of add all of those things together. I've got my drive for wanting to do well at business, but then I've got my purpose, which is actually going down this avenue. And me and Becca said, like, until you've lived and breathed it for 6 months and understand how crucial this accommodation is for this young lad. You don't really appreciate all the work that goes in on the carers' behalfs and so on and so forth. And we want to mitigate that. We want to be able to say to the carers, don't worry about changing the light bulb. Don't worry if a door handle comes off. Don't worry about changing the bedding or cleaning the property. You concentrate on what's important. Let us concentrate on the property. And that's basically adding value to their whole package. And then on top of that, they get a really nice house. So it's, you know what I mean? As I said, that passion, but then that also kind of drive and a purpose is the reason why we've moved down this avenue.
That's brilliant. Brilliant. I mean, it's so important, your environment that you're actually surrounded in. So if you're in a bit of a dingy property and it's not particularly very nice and it's, that's the mindset that you tend to have. And that's also the way that you sort of live. But when you're in somewhere that is nice, somewhere that you feel, you know, you sit in there and you think to yourself, I'm generally really, really pleased to be here. It changes that whole mindset as well. So, you know, you've touched on it there. You're helping people, but you're helping everybody. So it's not just the youngsters that are coming in there and being put up and stuff. It's also the carers. It's giving everybody that nice environment. And as you say, so important. A lot of people would say, well, you just shut the door and let them crack on and get on with it. But no, you're going in there, you're cleaning it, you're taking care of the minor maintenance issues and things like that. You're staying on top of the property to make sure that you maintains to that level and gives these people that right environment to give them the best possible chance. And I think it's brilliant. Commendable. Mm-hmm. And it's great to hear that you've got exciting things coming up. And of course, when you can share that, give me a shout and we'll get you back on, because it's always exciting. So, I mean, the future for you at the moment, obviously, it's focusing on of growing this, growing the packages that you say you're putting out there as well. Is there any other things that you're sort of focusing on property-wise or anything else-wise at the moment?
Apart from planning the big white wedding, which Becca's currently doing in the other room, and I'm looking at going like that, as I said, we've now opened the management company up to other people. We want to show people what we do. We want to be able to add value to their properties and also add value to people's lives. And we want to be working with a lot of landlords, and that needs to happen in order for us to continue to grow, but also for this kind of push for accommodation within the care industry. That needs to happen. And we're going to hopefully be the people who can provide that as soon as possible. We're also changing out one of our other buy-to-lets. So we're actually going through the refinancing at the minute. John Parkin, if you're watching this, please get the value around soon so I can start the refurb. So that's obviously happening. We're actually designing the specification of that property to suit both contractors but also the care company. So that's currently, it's a big house. It's like 1,200 square foot worth of floor space in a decent area in Lee. So we're actually turning that into a 3-bedroom property. But when it's normal SA, it's just an extra bedroom. But when it's being used for the packages, it's going to be used as a rest area and an office for the care team. So they can fill out reports, speak to the local authorities or anything in an environment where they don't have to stand outside in the rain. So we're going to be doing that. We have another unit going live by the end of February, which is, once again, that's going to be pushed towards placements. And then I think I joked about it at PIN the other night. I said, if this presentation goes well, I might get some more money from my mum and dad, because they were the ones who funded the start of the property journey. That happened on the Thursday. On the Friday, I got a call at 7 in the morning from my mum saying, right, let's do it. So we're going to be going purchasing another 3. We're just working with John once again on providing lending on that, and we'll be taking another 3, which will be offered to this new purpose and this new project that we've got going on. So got a lot going on. Really excited. Can't wait to really show everyone what will about, and kind of get, how would you put it, I wouldn't say get hands-on with the refurb, because I've got the softest hands in the Northwest, but being able to watch what we can do with the properties and know that all the work that we're putting into them is to actually serve a higher purpose, and that's going to be what's going to drive us through the through the next coming months. And as I said, we want to work with as many landlords as we can who want to provide quality accommodation.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, you know you're in safe hands with John as well. He'll do everything to help and support. You already know that because you've bought your properties with him already. Yeah. I think it's great. I mean, it just goes to show, you know, your network. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit that a lot of people, I mean, you've tapped into it yourself, but there's a lot of people out there that, you know, have no people or no family members who are sat on money that don't really know what to do with it, that you know, really want to just see people getting out there and talking about it. Now, we were at the Manchester North PIN meeting about a week or so ago now, and you did a presentation there, a local case study, which was really, really good. I really enjoyed it, and as did the attendees as well. And like you say, you're putting yourself out there. So all of a sudden there, your network's growing. People are starting to reach out to you. People are starting to see what you're doing. And we always say the same thing. I always say the same thing here. If people don't know about you, they can't do business with you, can they? So it is really about putting your brand out there, putting yourself out there and trying to attract the help and support you want. It's great to see that your parents have the light bulbs or the switch has gone, so to speak. And they're like, come on, let's do this now. So that's brilliant because obviously it's great to be able to do things for yourself, to be able to grow things for yourself, but to be able to help your family members, your parents, your sisters, your brothers, whatever. You know what I mean? Any family members and stuff like that also gives it more meaning. Why? Because you're all doing something together. So I think that's really, really good. I'm really, really excited for you as well. I like to ask this question as well, because obviously, you know, we touched on why you came and did the SA training with us and things like that. But if somebody now was here and they were sat on the fence and they said to you, I don't know whether to do it or not, what would you say to them about, you know, the help and support that you've had through that program?
My advice would be just do it. So whether you get the maximum from the course, whether you feel that you don't get the maximum, that's all down to you. The content's there, the support is there, not just from you and Graham, but from the likes of Zach and Eve, John, Matt, all these people who are within this community. They all hold you accountable as well, and they're always there. So for me, if you sat on the fence, you need to get off the fence and you have to get on and come and meet us all to understand kind of why you want to do it. And for me, the content's there. The content is always going to be there. It's what you do with it. You put out so many free booklets and information and deal stackers. And realistically, those are available wherever you want, but what you don't get is that continuous sort of support and accountability. So if you're sat on the fence thinking, I may do this, I may do that, not, you'll be sat there in 2 years' time thinking the same thing and going, oh, I should have done that. You're investing in yourself at the end of the day, and we invested in ourselves. That's what we did when we joined the SA Business Builder. We're now investing in other people. And we're flipping that. We've gone from investing in ourselves to now investing in other people and helping changing their lives. We wouldn't have done that if we didn't join the Ultimate SA Business Builder. Look at that compound effect. That compound effect of joining that one course with you is potentially going to change hundreds of people's lives in the future. Do you know what I mean? And that can happen for anyone, whatever kind of business you choose to build from the SA industry.
No, that's great advice, actually. And it really is down to you doing the work as well, because anybody can put anything in front of you. And that's one of the things that I love. I mean, we've got a great community. We've got a lot of people in that community smashing it at the moment as well, getting deals over the line, building their own SA businesses the way that they want to do things. But the one thing I always like to, and I always look at as well, is to see what actions people are taking and things. And, you know, I've touched base with you a few times here or there and stuff, and just to see how you're getting on and what you're pushing on. And you always take action. And that is the thing, you know, to get the results that you want. You'll know it through your sport and everything as well. It is getting out there, taking the right actions, doing the right stuff consistently and persistently to get the results you want. And I absolutely love the avenue that you're going. As I say, I'm hugely excited to see where it goes to, how big it scales to, how many people you can actually get out there and help, because it's a massive thing. It's not just all about property. You know, this is the Property Unleashed, but this is more about people. And property is about people. It's about relationships, and it's about getting out there and seeing how you can help others. And if you can help enough people get what they want, as Zig Ziglar says, you'll get what you want. And it is so, so true, but you can do it in such a manner that can really, really change a lot of lives. So the fact that, you know, you've come and you've joined us, we've helped and supported you, you've gone out there, you've put the work in. So all kudos to you. And now that you're out there and you're helping these extra people, and we've had some maybe little tiny, small little, you know, imprint in that, is hugely satisfying and very, very rewarding. So, you know, that is great to hear. I know Graham will absolutely lap that up and love it as well. He might even send you another message now saying, see, it was good me being hard on you. Look at what you've achieved.
Yeah, what I did. Yeah. No. I think you're completely right. I think you mentioned something there about helping people, and it's about property. And Becca came up with it the other day. I don't know how. She said, if you work off your business based upon the three P's, you'll never go far wrong, which was property, people, profit. And that's when she said it, I was like, that's brilliant. Where did you come up with that? She went, I just said it. But it is true, is property, that's the asset. No matter what property you have, you're putting people in there. So the people are getting something from that as well. And then if it makes money, then all them three together is going to be a positive business. So, yeah, she came up with that. I didn't. I thought it was really good. I stole it from her. She'll probably kick off.
Get out on your office wall. Get out up on your office wall. There you go. Yeah. There's a mantra. You got to have a mantra. That's really, really good. Really, really good. So about this time, I always like to ask my guests a few questions. If you've ever listened to the podcast before, then you pretty much know what's coming, because I'm not very original. I like to do the same old thing. So you all right with that?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine.
Cool, cool, cool. So what's the best advice you've ever been given?
Best advice I've been given? Probably concentrate on yourself, and everything around you will be positive from that. So yeah, so if you're the best person you can be, that's going to influence all the other people around you to be positive.
Like it. I like that. That's good. That's good. And it is, realistically, I always say as well, you can't control what other people are going to do. You can't even control what they're going to think. So don't bother. Just control. Yeah. What you can control, sorry, is yourself. And it's very much what you've just said then, is control what you're doing. The days are all the same. It's how you look at the day, isn't it? If you want to be miserable, if you want to be depressed, then, you know, that's you. But you don't have to be. Everything is a choice. So I love that. I love that. If you could sit down and have dinner with three people, dead or alive, who would you like to sit down and chat to?
I think the first one would be Steven Gerrard. I'm a big Liverpool fan, so obviously I just want to ask him about 2005 Istanbul. That's a tough one. I think I'd always like to kind of sit down with my granddad. My granddad passed away when I was young, but he was very much like my dad, and I want to see the similarities between that. And the third one. That's a really tough one. Do you know what? I would probably say another sports person. I would actually say Muhammad Ali, and that's just simply because he changed the way everyone looked at boxing, and he changed an industry, and that's something that I'm trying to do now. So I think that would be something that would quite resonate with me. So yeah, I'd probably go with that.
Brilliant. Love it. Love it. Do you have three podcasts that you listen to?
Well, obviously, I listen to yours. Oh, yeah. I've got two ones that I listen to on a regular basis, and they've got nothing to do with property or business. They're just stupid ones. But the ones that I watch are yours, and then there's one called Have a Word, which is a load of Scouse comedians at Hot Water Comedy Club. That is absolutely hilarious, but it's not for the faint-hearted. And then the other one is the Peter Crouch podcast, which, do you know, I've still got to get that hit of football in some way, shape or form to act as like a child would in a changing room for the lads. I still need that from time to time. So that podcast and all the banter that goes on there is probably the reason why I listen to that one, because it doesn't even make sense most of the time now.
Well, that's it. He's found his he's definitely found his niche though, hasn't he, Peter Crouch? He is so funny.
Yeah. The thing is though, most footballers are like that. It's just they're always trained to be in the media, these robots, and when they all come out of the career, they all end up doing something like that because they just act in the same way they did when they were a footballer. They just have a different platform to do it. So
yeah. That's good. And lastly, do you have top three books that you'd recommend? Don't have to be property books. It can be anything. But three books that you've read that are giving you like aha moments that you've got a lot from.
Yeah, so I'm always going to say Property Magic because I call it like the Bible. I'm not religious in any way, shape or form. But for me is when you don't have the answers, someone always goes to a book. Normally it's the Bible. I tend to go to Property Magic and hope that it gives me answers. And it has done quite a few times throughout the last 3 years. So that would definitely be one. I think that book, it speaks for itself. I love The Compound Effect, that one with Darren Hardy. I just think it's so true and you don't even realise it. And I think that's a really good book for someone who might be starting off in a business or starting off in anything that they want to do or building a goal, is it doesn't happen overnight, and there's so many things that can happen in between before you reach that goal. But as long as you're doing what you're supposed to do on a daily basis, you will see the rewards. You might not even see them happen, but they are happening, which I thought was brilliant. And the third one, I can't even remember what it's called now. The Housekeeper. It's a book. It's just like a fictional book. I read it on holiday last year when I didn't speak to Becca for about 2 weeks while I was reading it. So yeah, that's what that would be. I couldn't tell you who actually wrote it. I couldn't tell you the author. I just got given a book on the plane and that was it. So but that was brilliant. It's really, really good.
The Housekeeper. So what is it, like a self-development book or?
No, it's literally a complete fiction book about some. The only way I can describe it is imagine, like, you know, one of those BBC documentaries where it's really twisted and you don't know what's happening until the last episode. It's basically a book like that. And that's literally all it is. But it was just brilliant. Like, I'm not a big book reader. I'm more of a listener because I'm always out and about and so on and so forth. And by the time I get home, I'm just like, where's my bed? But that book, just for some reason, it was probably Becca's best holiday because she didn't have to deal with me acting like a kid for 2 weeks. So I was too busy like this with the book. So
nice. Another good Darren Hardy book, I don't know whether you've read it, is The Entrepreneur Rollercoaster.
No, I've not read that one yet.
Have a little look at that. I'll get it on Audible and listen to it. It's a good little book, that one.
I'll put it on the list. I've been given that. I've been given what else I've been given. What's it called now? I think it's called Money by Rob Moore. I think it is. I've heard that one's really good. I've got that one upstairs due to read, but still not opened. But do you know what I mean? I will get around to them eventually. I need to take something else up other than just property and works. So maybe reading might be the one.
Why not? It's a good little pass. It helps me go to sleep, actually. I like to read a chapter or a few pages before I go to bed, and I tend to actually go to sleep better.
My problem is I start reading, and then suddenly I want to know what's happening on the other page. So I'm reading that, but I've got one eye on the other page. What's happened here? Can not just get to where we need to be? So, but no, I'll get there. I'll read those two books, and I'll let you know once I've read them.
Brilliant stuff. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure, my friend, to have you on. If anybody wants to reach out to you and get in contact, what's the best ways?
Yeah, so I'm on Facebook, Danny O'Brien, Instagram, Danny O'Brien. As said, my socials are there. I'm always actively at the networking events. And then email is danny@bdshortstays.com. So Yeah, feel free to reach out to me, send us a message. If there's any way that we can help or any way that you feel that you can help us, please shout. Please give us a call. So.
Brilliant stuff. No, that's great. Well, like I say, thank you again for coming on. Do reach out to Danny if you have any questions or anything like that. Likewise to that, if you need any support or help on your property journey, do please check out thepropertyunleashed.com. We have free tools and resources there. You can also listen to the podcast there. And of course, I have Mark Fitzgerald, Entrepreneur, YouTube channel as well. So to wrap this one up, any final thoughts, Danny, before we go?
Not huge, probably just a big thank you to yourself and being able to let me share this story. And obviously a big thanks to yourself and Graham, because none of this would have been possible without me joining that course. And as you ask people if they're on the fence now, just do it, you'll regret it. I definitely now look at myself a year on and go, would I have regretted not going on that course? The answer is 100% yes. I would have regretted not going on it. So, yeah, that's like, you can give me the tenner afterwards. But, yeah, that would be my last little bit. But thank you very much.
No, that's brilliant. Thank you. Yeah, so if you are interested in serviced accommodation, you want to build that business, we have the ultimate SA, the ultimate serviced accommodation business builder training program, which, as Danny has already put it better than me, gives you everything that you need and can change your life and change the life of others. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you have, then please feel free to like, subscribe, and share it with anybody who may be interested in property mindset or any of those related things. Make sure that you know your goals. Make sure you know what it is you want to be doing in your future. Make sure you break those down into bite-sized chunks and take action on them day on day. If you do that, you can and will create the life that you desire. I thank you for joining me here, and I look forward to you joining me in the next episode. You take care, and bye for now.